You know, we've been studying faith and our faith growing and trying to get stronger in the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And we're going to continue to do that today. Now, he tells in Psalms 107:20 that he sent his Word and did what?
Healed.
Oh, healed them. Amen? Amen. Psalms 107:20. He sent his Word to heal them. Psalms 107, that's the very beginning of our building our faith, okay? So you want to remember that. Sorry, Kenny. There. Okay? You hear me now? Okay. He sent his Word to heal them. We got to make sure that's the foundation. He sent his Word, Maggie, to heal you, okay? So we need to know that. And we say, well, I'm not sick today. Your life is sick. Amen? Okay, it's kind of like this pencil. This is your life outside of God. Or even with God, and you're broken. You know? And when you say, well, he sent his Word and healed them, you think, well, heal them, Lord, go ahead. They all need that, right? They need it. I don't need it, okay? But it's not until you recognize that's what you're supposed to look like. Okay? See the difference? Wow. See, you might be like this all your life. And you just figure that's the way life is. Life isn't enjoyable. You don't have any joy. You have no peace. You have nothing. That's just the way life is. But God created us to be like this.
Amen.
Now, earlier today, I got a UPS delivered to me.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and it was a package from Fred Crusoe.
Oh,
man. Oh my lands. He said, your pencil is broken. He sent me tape. And he said that this tape will mend you. Oh, wow. Awesome. And that's been a couple hours now. I've been carrying this tape around until I just laid down a little bit ago. But you know what? My pencil's still broken. I mean, Fred had a note. I sent you my tape to repair your pencil. Why isn't it repaired yet?
You haven't applied it.
What? What do you mean I haven't applied it?
You haven't applied the tape to your pencil.
Well, do I have to do that?
Well, if you get her fixed, you're going to have to.
Fred sent it to me, right?
Real.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't Fred apply it for me? I got to do the work. Yeah, amen. So, now this isn't going to be perfect because I'm going to take all day, but we'll just put it this way for a second. Good tape. Now, I took the tape, applied it to the pencil, and now it's fixed. Okay? Now, it's not perfect. Okay? It won't be perfect again. My pencil won't be. Okay? But now it's usable. For the purpose it has. Well, folks, it's the same way with the Word of God. He sent his Word to heal us. Okay, why? Because we are broken. Okay? We were created like this in his image in the garden. It was all perfect. But man, we fell into sin. So he sent his Word to heal us. And as he comes into our life, we won't look like this again completely until we get back to heaven. Amen? But we have to take that Word, like Fred said, and Kenny said, and I have to apply it to my life. And so we say, well, he sent his Word and healed us. He did that. So the first thing that you have the knowledge that you're broken, right? When you find out that you're in sin. Okay? Or you find out you're in the flesh. Then, to have wisdom, and who wants wisdom?
Me.
Okay? You take that Word and you apply it to your life. And that can be the stumbling block maybe for us sometimes. Okay? Sometimes we can walk around and we can carry our the Bible and say, yes, He sent His Word and healed us. He sent His Word and healed us. And we know that Christ came. He's the living Word of God. He came on that cross and He brought healing to us and restoration to us. Forgive us of our sins. But then we take His Word and we open it up, we read it, then we apply it to our life. That's what makes all the difference. Hear me, church? You have to apply it to your life. And many of us are sitting here today, we're broken, our life is upside down, we're still going around in circles. Why? Because we're not applying that Word. We're not allowing that Word to be absorbed in our life. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have faith in His Word. Amen? Remember last week we had the shepherd, we had sheep in that church? Amen. And it was showing you there, let the shepherd guide you in every way that you go. Don't compromise. Follow Him. Now today we'll continue looking at building our faith in the Lord. And I want you to turn to Philippians 4:19 if you have your Bibles with you. Again, if you don't have a Bible, or you need a Bible, if you don't own a Bible, let me know. We'll get you a Bible. We'll find a Bible for you. Get you a highlighter. Get something to mark it up with. Because the day is coming that we won't be gathering just like this. I want you to be able to open up your Bibles and be able to take it home with you and read and be encouraged. So don't be afraid to ask me if you need a Bible. And a lot of times, if you take your time, we always do lunch after the service here. The first thing most people do, they run the bathroom, so they're going to leave the Bible late. So you get a Bible that way too. So. Oops. Nobody be going to the bathroom at the service today. I can see that already. But again, building your faith. And if you have faith in God, what's it going to bring into your life? It's going to bring obedience. Amen. If you have faith,
healing.
Well, that's the third thing. Yeah. If you have faith in the Word of God, you're going to start obeying the Word of God. And through obedience, His promises, His blessing will come into your life. Okay? And so you're right there. It brings healing to you. But being obedient to it. And we got to realize that any sin in our life opens up the door for Satan to come in. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years. If you sin, it's just like I can go over here right now and squeeze that door open just that much. And if it's a little bit colder in here, it is kind of hot in here today. But all the air conditioning will go outside. Whether I open it up on purpose or not, it's going to go outside. Right. Same way in your life, folks. That word that He sent to us, as you hear that word, you apply it to your life. Turn away from sin and allow Him to be governor of your life. And you'll find yourself being victory more and more in the things that come against you. Okay? But He says in 4:19, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So, what He's telling you there, if you jump up a couple of verses, what Paul was telling us, as the church, as they reached out to him and helped him spread the gospel. There was a time as Paul was going around preaching, and there was only one church, one other group of people that actually sent him money in order to keep food on his table, keep him preaching. And he come to see him one day. He said, "Man, you know, a lot of people abandoned me." And he says, "In fact, you did too. But when you had the capability of doing it, man, you sent me money." And it wasn't money for him to retire. It was money for him to keep going preaching the Word.
Yeah.
So He gave him this promise. He says, "Now, my God will supply all your needs through the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Why? Because they were furthering the kingdom of God. And that's the same thing in our life today. He'll do the same thing. When we say, "Hey, my God will supply all my needs through the riches and glory in Christ Jesus," you can claim that as you continue to help forward the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's how we can stand on that. That's why sometimes you see some people's needs are always being met and some aren't being met because of what they're doing, what God's given them. And you might be sitting here today thinking, "Well, man, I've been a Christian for a while, but man, I don't have a job, I have the money to give." Well, it's furthering It's furthering the kingdom of God. It's keeping the doors open. So it might be, oh, you come in and you clean the sidewalks off. Okay, you sweep it. Or you come in, whatever you can do to help further the kingdom of God. He said, as you do that, man, I'll supply all your needs. Because sometimes we think it's always finances. And if you don't have finances, you don't have money, you can't give, can you? Amen. Amen. So you start where you're at. But when God said He'll meet your needs, He'll meet your needs. And then you can go and you do more and do more. As God can trust us with the things that He has, He'll give us more for His kingdom. So make sure that we look at what He's given us already and make sure that we're using it properly. That we're not wasting it on the things of the world, okay? Because our eyes should be focused on the kingdom of God. On Him. Time is so short. I mean, we really have to be naive right now, not knowing that He's not coming back. I mean, look at this week. How many more storms we got going in the east and the west and the north and snowstorms. He's ringing that bell. Boing, 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 boing. Okay? So we have to be pretty naive or just don't care of a fellow man if we can't see that the coming of the Lord is very, very near. So we're going to do whatever we can in order to keep that gospel rolling out there, bring more and more people to the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. But that's the promise. He said, I'll supply all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You got to get that. You got to meditate on that word. Is that right, Kenny? Okay, what's it? Oh, man. Well, I know I should. But man, if I do that, I won't have my needs met. If I give of my time, I give my finances, well, God, He's going to take care of me. You hear me, church? I mean, I'm just trying to help you out. That's not faith.
Right.
Having faith. And we'll talk about today about seeking God, seeking wisdom from God. Some stuff that He gives you is for yourself. Some stuff He gives you is for someone else. And sometimes it's to share. You keep some, He keeps some, okay? But what He wants you to do is be totally surrendered to Him, and He'll meet your need. You know, if you're going to stay at the church today, He'll meet your need today. You need food, right? He's going to feed you today. Amen? Okay, He'll meet that. Now, in Philippians 1:6, which is back just a couple of pages, He says, Paul tells us, "For I am confident of this thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Okay? Building your faith. As you started walking with the Master, Paul's saying, listen, He's gonna stay with you. He's not going to give up on you. He's going to continue to strengthen you, to perfect you until the day that Christ comes back. So if you fell down this week, get back up again. Amen?
Amen.
Don't stay down. He wants to perfect it. Now, the only way He can't perfect it is if you stay down. You need to raise up above. You got to be focused on the Lord. On Him 100%. If you're here today and you claim to be a follower of Christ, if you're a born-again Christian, you want to do these things. Amen? Amen. You want to do that. You got to watch out for the traps that brings you down. Maybe you fell again this week, the same place you fell last week, and the week before, and the week before. There's something we need to change, right? So we got to break that cycle. You know, Lord, what is it? Why do I keep doing the same thing? Every Saturday morning I wake up with a headache. What's going on? He said, well, it's your Friday nights. Okay. We got to change our Friday nights. Okay, Lord. But it's hard to change my Friday nights. Well, it might be hard to do, but you want that headache or not? You know, it's not impossible. Again, it's just turning. It's just walking away. Sometimes it's not answering that phone when you see the caller ID thinking, oh, I know they're going to call me. They want me to go somewhere today. They want me to do this today. And I'm not saying good things, all bad things, you know, or party things or whatever it might be, you know. Oh, I know if I get around them today, I just, whoo. You have some days that you're stronger in faith than the other days, right? Some days you're more vulnerable and you think, man, oh man, Lord, I better not go around that person today because I might go right back where I come from. I don't want to do that today, you know. And so when they call you, don't lie to people, though. You know, if the phone's ringing and you say, oh, my caller ID says, oh, man, it's a preacher calling. Tom, I'm not here, okay? Don't. You don't want to do that. Either don't answer the phone or answer it and tell the truth. Just tell the truth. you know, I'm not feeling good, man, I just want to do it today. If you have old friends that keep bugging you all the time and come back, say, man, listen, I'm really walking with Christ now. I appreciate the invitation, but man, I'm not strong enough to go down there tonight or go over there today and maintain my walk with the Lord. So, man, I love you. You want to stop by the house after a bit? I'm going to have coffee on and I'll be reading my Bible. You want to stop by and hang out with me, but I just can't go with you today. And just be honest with people. Okay? How will they quit bothering you for the wrong thing if they don't know where you're walking with the Lord?
Right.
You know, I remember Paul Garner Jr. one day, he came to me, he just got born again, he came in one day laughing. He said, I read this joke on somewhere, and he says, this guy went to church, and he got born again, gave his life to Christ, got baptized, and he's talking to the preacher. He says, and the preacher goes, well, how's work going now since you got saved? He says, oh, it's all right, it's been 4 months, and they don't suspect a thing. So they have no idea that he changed his life around, you know. So we can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and let people know where you're walking, you know, what you're doing. Otherwise, they won't know the difference. And a lot of times, oh man, that's cool. Because if they're in the same place that you were at one time, they probably went out also.
Right.
And they don't know how to do it. And next thing you know, they'll be coming to you and say, man, how did you do that? How did you turn your life around? You know. And at times, you might find yourself going somewhere you're not supposed to be. Well, repent from it, right? Get out of it. Because God's not going to give up on you. He's going to work with you and work with you as long as you allow Him to do that until He perfects you. Now, we won't be that solid pencil until we're in the heaven. But He'll tape us together and that's where we at least do what He wants us to do. And I know this pencil's kind of awkward looking at a broken half, but I can sharpen that point and still figure some stuff out and still be useful. And that's where we are in our lives. You know, we are still useful to the Lord. At Broken Park, yes. Broken Park can be a testimony, yep. And I can brag how Fred knew it was broken. And Fred could laugh about me. Oh, you got a broken pencil. But he went to the expense. Now, he really didn't send me that in UPS. I'm not lying to you guys. But to go to the expense, to put it in a package, pay the price, send it to me, knowing that I'm going to need this to fix my pencil with. Man, you can't ask for a better friendship than that. Now, I could have got mad at him and said, wait, if I want two pencils, I'll have two pencils. Realize your heart. Realize what you wanted. Put that pencil back together. That's what God wants to do. He wants to put our lives back together in a useful manner. He wants to put our lives back together where we have some of that peace and that joy that He gives us. He wants to put our lives back together that way He can come and take us home one of these days. He wants that. So this word that He gave us wasn't to condemn us. It was to rescue us. Okay, that tape, Fred, wasn't to make fun of me. That wasn't to try to put me down, saying, well, I know your pencil's broken. No. It's I don't want to help you. And I have to Now, we can take things to the opposite end, right? We can take things and turn it upside down and get mad at people because they come to you and say, well let me help you. You know, hey, Daryl, that's sin, man. You know, yeah. I love you, but man, now we can take it wrong way. Oh, who do you think he is? Or, oh man, what's going on? You see sin in my life, Lori? I don't see it. Show me where it is. To receive it, because God is still going to be perfecting us until the day He comes and gets us. And we have to understand that. We have to love one another and be encouraged by one another to receive that type of, I won't say correction, but that type of speech or whatever. We're not condemning one another. Now, time will happen. What will happen at times, as a professing Christian, if you say you're a follower of Jesus, and so the body comes to you, hey man, are you following Christ? Yes. Man, this is sin. Okay? So man, we're going to follow Him. We need to get this out of our life. Okay? Because man, you're confessing Christ as your Savior and Lord. He gives you strength. He gives you power. Okay? So come on, let's get this out of your life. And you don't do it. And then next time, hey man, come on. Man, Christ wants you. He wants everything that He can give you. But man, that's sin. We need to get out of your life. Well, I know it's sin. I'm going to stay in sin. And I'm a follower of Jesus. Wrong. That's a lie. You can't stay in sin and declare that you're a follower of Jesus. You can't do that. You're only deceiving yourself. You say, well, we've all sinned. Yes, we have. That's why we need a Savior. But when He's already paid the price for your sin, and you go ahead and stay in that sin, and you're going to mock Him for what He's done for you, you're not a follower of Christ. So don't deceive yourself. Understand, church? And Satan will try to deceive you. You're okay. Nobody's perfect. You heard the preacher say today, we're all broken pencils. Yes? It's one thing to sin. Amen? It's another thing to stay in sin. So I understand that. And He sent His Word to you for you to recognize sin and get it out of your life. Amen? Hey, we're all going to fall. Okay? Nobody's perfect in here, right? Please. Okay. Woo. I thought I was in the wrong church. I thought I came to the perfect church. But what we need to do is when we recognize that, get out of it. Don't stay in it. Because it's very simple, very easy to get your mindset anymore in this world, the way the world is, that we can be just like we are, follow Jesus, and get to heaven. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, it's been so watered down, guys. It has been so watered down. And it's still, every day is being watered down more and more. More and more people compromising. And they're taking things of Satan and they're bringing them to the church. They're letting them to exist into the body of Christ. Not saying the building. This building designed for everyone to come in. Amen? It is. For everyone. But once you confess Christ as Savior, Lord, once I've surrendered my life to the Lord, now you come up to a higher accountability. Understand that. And that's when God says, get the sin out of the church. Not out of the building. Out of the church.
Right.
And so, are you the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you the church?
Yeah.
You're the church! Oh, wow! So what's He telling us to do?
Get out of our life.
Get the sin out of our life. Amen. Awesome. You guys are right on top of things today. Woo! That's awesome. Praise God. I know it'd be easier just vacuum the floor, right? But it's through our life. But again, He will not give up on you. He won't. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. I don't care how many times. Get back up. Have that desire. But man, figure out how you're getting down there. God will show you. He'll give you the wisdom to get out of it. Let's jump to another scripture. Let's go to James 1:5. He says, but if any of you, I'll read it while you're getting there. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it to all generously and without reproach, and will be given to him. So now, asking for wisdom. Knowledge, fantastic, right? But knowledge is no good without the wisdom. I know people that'll tell me I've read the Bible, not me, but they've read the Bible 10 times. They read 10 different versions of it. Awesome. So you got the knowledge of God. But do you have the wisdom? And the wisdom is applying it to your life. Knowledge is no good without wisdom. That's what he said. He says, any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And He'll give it to you. Okay? How does God talk to you? Through His Word, right? So in your hands right now, if you got your Bible with you, you have God's wisdom. Okay? So, boy, I need wisdom. Read your Bible. Amen? I need wisdom. Try to make a Bible study to understand that. It's in our hand. Sometimes we want God's wisdom, but we want Him to speak to us. And He's already spoken to us in the Word. Now, He'll give you direction in your life. You know, oh, God, I need help. I don't know, maybe you're stuck in traffic. You're trying to get somewhere. Oh, you're lost. God, I go left. Oh, you're right, Lord, which way? And He'll move upon you. You just feel that Spirit in you saying, okay, let's go left here. I had no idea. Oh, here I am. Okay. Well, yes, things that you're trying to work on. I've testified many times. A lot of you guys have. You work on something, God, I don't know how to do it. But I know you gave man the wisdom to make it. You give me the wisdom to repair it. And sometimes it's like that. He gives it to me. Other times He tells me to call somebody. You know, why would I give that wisdom to Tommy Bradshaw wisdom? Go out and see Tom Bradshaw. He'll fix your car for you, right? Amen. But the wisdom that we need is right here in that Word. And to have knowledge, when we say He sent His Word to heal us, then if we don't hear His Word and follow His Word, we're not getting that wisdom. And wisdom is to follow it. And put your foot down. You know? I mean, ladies, If you raise kids, husbands, we normally don't care much about it, but maybe we do. But in the summer, winter time, they leave the door open, going in and out all the time. Close that door! You're letting the heat out. Okay, close that door. Okay, we don't care, the guys. Don't we get the remote to the TV, you know, and a cup of coffee or whatever, you know. But so I went. Yeah. Or remember this saying? Were you born in a barn? Yeah, you hear that all the time. Okay. Well, what is happening is the children are getting wisdom from the mother to close the door that they weren't born in a barn. It's costing more money to leave that door open in the wintertime. So let's close. So that's what they're gathering, okay? Now, if mother would keep her mouth shut and leave the door open, the heating bills would go up, less money to feed with, the dogs and cats come from the outside, all kind of stuff can take place. And the kids would just think that's normal, right? As they grew up, they would. They wouldn't know any difference in it. But moms, what do? You give the kids instructions. And sometimes the instruction may come of sitting in the chair for a while. But you gave them wisdom. You told them why. And God is the same way with us. He'll tell you why. Why He says these things. Why does He say to repent from our sins? Why does He say stay away from sin? Why does He say that even if it appears like it's evil, to stay away from it? You know why He does that? Because He loves you. Amen? That He loves you. He cares for you. Now, you have the knowledge of it. Where does the wisdom come in at? By applying it to your life. So it goes back to this word. Do you have faith in God's word? Yes. Faith? Yes. Faith without works is dead, right? And we'll probably cross that maybe next 3 or 4 months. It's in my sermon. My sermon is 97 pages long. But in Hebrews 13:5. Again, He sent His word to heal us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And He tells us today, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. That we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So He's saying, don't compromise your life for the things of this world. Amen? Don't compromise your life, is what He's saying. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. He's not telling you not to get money, but from the love of money. Because for the love of money, you'll do about anything. You'll sacrifice about anything if you have a love for money. Now, money is nice. We use it to buy things with, pay bills with. But the love of it will take you where you don't want to go. The love of money, you find yourself finding a second job to pay for the stuff that you love to have. So you say, well, I don't really love money, but I love my 3 motorcycles, my 2 boats, my Corvette, my 5 horses, my 4 dogs, okay? And because I have all that, I need more money. I love to have more money, that way I can pay my bills, other things I don't need. So then you find yourself being compromised, you find yourself being miserable. Okay, there's nothing wrong with money. If you're sitting here today and you come to church in a new car, there's nothing wrong with it. Don't leave here and feel guilty. If you come in the day and you made it in by because you walked in here, don't feel bad. Okay, God will meet our needs, but don't let the money take over your life. Sometimes we get to the point, man. Maggie, if I made $5,000 more a year, I'd be happy. You know that. But you know what, Fred? If I did next year, I would say, you know what, Betty? If I just made $5,000 more, I'd be happy. Yeah. And then the next year, because when you're in love with money, you never have enough of it. You want $1 more, you know. And I Rockefeller, and I don't know if this is true. I never met the gentleman. But they asked him one time, you know, all this money in the world, what do you want? You know what he said? Anybody heard this quote before? $1 more. He was never satisfied with that. And so we have to make sure that we don't fall into the love of money. And that's where the money controls your life. But don't feel guilty if you have money. You know? Don't let people put you down, huh? It's a blessing from God. And the more that He entrusts us, the more He gives us, and we use it properly, the more he'll trust us with, because everything we have is his, right? It belongs to him. And some people you need shoes on because you need to walk down the street because you're going to do something for the Lord. Other people might need a bicycle because you have to go farther and the feet won't get me there. Other ones you might need an automobile because you have to go farther, and some other ones might even need an airplane to get there. All to God's glory, amen? Or maybe a boat, right, brother? Yeah, God can use all that. You get to the island, there you go. Well, take me with you. I need a vacation, so. But to be content with what you have. Now, folks, that's where you got to find yourself, to be content. It doesn't mean that you doesn't want to change your life, okay? But for right now, be content. Joe, right now you're sitting in a hard plastic chair, okay? You're content, at least you're sitting down. But when you get home, you're not going to take this chair with you. You're going to get in your easy chair and kick back for a little bit, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But for right now, you're content. Because you had two choices. If you wasn't content, not come here at all, or brought your chair with you, okay? But for right now, you're content. Daryl, you're home today, you might have jelly on bread for your dinner today. Now, if you're like me, I'd rather have prime rib and baked potato, okay? But until I receive that, I'm thanking the Lord that I have jelly and toast or whatever it might be, because he's meeting my need, okay? As we are appreciative as Christians on how God meets our needs, man, that blesses him. And then as we follow him, it gives him the reason to bless us more. For folks who work in the ministry here during the week, man, we're so blessed at times that folks who come in, I don't care what we cook, oh, thank you. They are so appreciative of it, you know. Oh, what's this today? I'm not sure. Kenny made it, you know, but eat it anyway. But it blesses us, right? But every once in a while, we get one who'll come in. Hey, what's for lunch today? Oh, man, we made some sloppy joes out of whole hog sausage, and we had some chips. Well, I guess I'll go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know? You know what I tell them? Take me with you. I want to go, too. But see, they're not content. Well, thank you. I got something to eat, at least. To be content wherever you're at. You know, look at Paul, the apostle. He was the same in prison as he was out there among all the rich people. He was content. Jesus was the center of his life, no matter where he went. Didn't matter whether he was hobnobbing today, Terry, you know that? Or he's out there finding squirrel eggs, or whatever. Squirrels don't have eggs, do they? Okay. Robin eggs, okay? But he was still content. Because he knew this. My God will meet my needs. The riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, he didn't say that you have to go get it. But it'll meet your needs. Just like the man. They had to pick the manna up. And they complain about that. Everybody familiar with the manna that he fed the Israelites when they left Egypt? They had this bread come down from... I mean, can you imagine? All you had to do is reach down and pick it up. I mean, he had their first home service delivery on food. Can you imagine? Right now, every day, your dinner showed up, Lori. Just boom. I mean, people walk in your house, set it up on the table, all you got to do is eat it. How long would it take you to get bored of that? You say, oh, I'd never get bored from that. You would if you did not teach yourself to be content. If every day, if you acknowledge God, man, you're my Father in heaven. I know you're a good Father. I know I have a need today. You're going to feed me today. And person that knock on the door, here comes, well, I guess we call it Meals on Wheels, whatever you want to call it. Yes, I mean, whatever it might be. Man, we've had tuna salad all week long on Meals on Wheels. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of eating it. Do you understand? Do you understand that is a sin? Wow. You know, so that's why it's really good to reflect on the scriptures and remember where God brought you from. Don't remember where you're at. Just remember where he brought you from and be so thankful. See, even if you don't like tuna fish, it's dinner, eat it. And it's good for you. Oh, don't tell me that, I'll quit eating it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Oh, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I know some of you folks here, you get Meals on Wheels and you bring them in here because some months you're not home. Or you're out for dinner. Instead of wasting it, you're bringing it here. We're putting it in the freezer and we pass it out to people. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, it's cool. Instead of throwing away, we bring it in. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you but as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Now, it's his promise to his followers, all right? He said, "Man, you say you're being tempted, don't worry about it." If you're following Christ and you're being tempted, he will give you a way to get out of it if you're following him. What happens at times, we're not following Jesus in this particular area of your life, and so we fall into temptations. Well, that's okay. He said it would give me a way of escape. But he didn't put you there. You put yourself there. And so that's where, again, we're going back to, "He is my shepherd, I shall not want." I was following him, following his word, obeying him. And you think, oh, you get tempted for a second. Nah, he'll give you a way out of it because you're not there anymore. You don't want that anymore. You want away from that. So he'll give you a way to get out of it. Now, I use an example of Friday night. There's a place up in Newcastle. I don't know if it's still there or not, called the Foxhole. Is it still there?
Yeah.
How do you know? I was waiting for one of the guys to say that. Okay. But the Foxhole is a place where you go dancing. Men don't. Lady does. It's not a good place to go. So tonight, let's say you go to the Foxhole. I'm going to the Foxhole. And you walk in there, and whatever they're doing, and you say, "Oh, that's okay, because God said I won't be tempted beyond what he'll give me a way to get out of it." In case he's sitting there, and you're watching, "Okay, God, you're going to give me a way to get out of it." Well, his word's true. But he never comes and gets you. Why would he not come get you? Didn't he say he'll give you a way to get out of it? That you cannot be tempted more than he'll give you a way out of it?
He
wasn't listening. He wasn't listening in the first place. He should never have been there.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Yes. Yep. Cause what happened is we'll try to stretch that out. You know, we'll try to take that temptation thing and stretches. Well, I know I can go there and I could, God won't let me be tempted any farther and give me a way out of it. But he's already told you not to go. Amen? You already know not to go there. And so you go anyway, and you're kind of like on your now. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. He'll convict you while you're in there. He'll say, "You know, you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be here." He'll talk to you for a while. But you still have your own feet, right? You get up and walk out of it. But he's saying that he won't let you be tempted. As you follow him, as you're serving him, he won't let you be tempted anymore. He'll give you a way out. We're going to be tempted from time to time. Okay? But he'll give you a way out of it. But as time goes on, you'll be tempted less and less. Okay? Married 41 years. Okay? How much temptation does she have to go with Chippendale dancers? Or other old people, I guess. I mean, or myself or the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Can I be tempted to take off to Dallas with them ladies? At this point in my life? No. No. 40 years ago? It could be a different story. I don't know. I mean, it was in the flesh, right? But now, as we walk, we're together? No. What can we be tempted with now? Any idea? Eat too much? Oh! But you're right. I don't think I can't eat anything right now I'd be tempted by. But it's out there. But as I say close to my Lord, and I say close to my wife, I overcome that temptation. He promises me that. So, I guess Satan tried it once with the master. And he said what? He said, do not tempt the Lord thy God. And so we can do the same thing in our life. Say, go on somewhere that you know you shouldn't be. And you go anyway. Say, oh God, I know you're going to get me out of here. I'll just go as far as I can and I'll come back out. No, no, no. No, 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 no. If you step in there, man, you're going by yourself. You know, if you're going in there, I'm staying on the outside, he's saying. I'm telling you right now, don't go in. And then if you end up going inside, you're going to feel miserable. You're going to come back out. We've all been there. Don't go back again. Remember how you felt. Remember, you let yourself down. You let the Lord down. Just remember how you felt. Hey, I'm not going there anymore. If Terry calls me tonight, I'm not going that smorgasbord anymore. No. Amen? But the temptation will give you a way out of it. Oh, mental. Well, everything starts in the mind, I think, is mental. I mean, it's... The minute you start thinking about doing something you shouldn't do, you're stepping to sin. Okay? Once you start thinking about it, there's a difference between thinking about it and a thought popping in your head. Right. Thoughts are popping in your head all the time. If you hang on to it and start thinking about it, now you're cultivating sin. And you don't want to do that. So sometimes you just, get out of my mind. Sometimes you start singing. Sometimes, you don't mean Christian songs, okay? Or quoting scripture, you know? Or, get behind me, Satan. Get out of my mind. I got a mind of Christ. I've been born again. I've been forgiven that. I don't want to do that. No, no, no. And pretty soon it passes you, right? Yep. Amen. They might throw you out of Walmart talking out loud like that. But it will pass you. It says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a promise he has. As you follow him, he will give you peace that will surpass beyond your comprehension. You don't understand. How can I have peace right now where my life is? Well, if you're following Christ and you're being obedient to his word, he gives you that peace. You know that he's watching over you. You know, as you stay faithful to him, man, you gave him control of your life. As long as you are following him and being obedient to his word, that brings a peace. Now, if you're not, if there's areas of your life that you know you're not following the Lord, that peace isn't going to be there. Because there's a conflict between you and God and his word. And it'd be sad if there was peace. Because you wouldn't know that you were in conflict with God. But peace, no matter what the phone call says, there's a peace that we have knowing that we're following Christ. Or knowing that, man, I tell you what, I don't like the report. I don't like the phone call. I don't like what just took place. But I'm going to pray about it. I have a peace. I have a relationship with God that I can lift these things up to heaven and we're going to intercede on them. But when we compromise our walk with the Master, when we do things that we know we shouldn't do, we lose that peace, we lose that joy. Until we come back to him, until we repent from it. Amen? So we're going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now who is Christ? The living Word. So as you hear the Word of God, he'll bring you peace and strength into you as you obey him. In 1 John 1:9, just a couple more here this morning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess your sins, I want everybody to stand up and confess your sins to me this morning. I can't forgive your sins. Amen. You got time for all that? Yes. But confess your sins to him. Amen. I don't know. You ever go outside? Maybe I'm weird, but you go out on the back 40 and just talk to God. God, I blew it again. I'm sorry. I opened my mouth up. I should have kept it shut. Oh, I shouldn't yell. I shouldn't scream. I shouldn't have done this. You're confessing to God that you're human. And you allow him to forgive you. He's already forgiven you.
But man, it just makes you feel better, right? That's confessing your sins to Him. And I truly believe that if you ever go to a church and they tell you stand up and confess your sins like the Bible says to everybody in here, get out of that church. Amen? Now, sometimes you need to confess your sins maybe with the pastor or with a really close Christian friend because you need prayer in that area. Amen? But not everybody in the gathering this morning are Christians. And as you confess your sins, it'll be out there on the front page before you get back to the bathroom after the service. Okay? So one another. Huh? It'll be on Facebook before you got home. Yeah, amen. But if you have a sin that you struggle with, and you've been struggling with it, you've been talking to God in prayer, you need a prayer partner. And the minute you expose that to someone that you can really trust, and man, I get this problem in my life, I need you to pray with me, man, you're going to break that chain. Because what happens, Satan has got you bound in that sin. And you can't get yourself free from it. At times you need a prayer partner, you need someone to intercede with you. And then keep you in prayer during the week. I have people pray for me all the time to keep me from falling. You say, well, you're the pastor, aren't you? How many pastors have you ever heard that fall into sin? Good preachers, good pastors. But man, temptation came at weak time and boom. So I don't know how that happens. But I don't take a chance. So I get prayer warriors out there that pray for me every day. And I don't have no problem with that. Saying, hey, I don't want to fall. Because I am not perfect. I am not perfect. But amen. Amen. I'll admit that, yeah. If I was perfect, I'd marry somebody different. Thank you, Lord. No, just kidding. You. Two more yet, okay? And Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. So speaking everything in love, we are to be like Jesus. Wait, no, we are to be like your pastor. That's what it was. Yes. It doesn't say to be like me, does it? It says to be like Jesus. But speaking everything in truth out of love. Now, how much better would this world be if we spoke the truth in everything, but out of love? How much better would this world be if we received the truth from other people in love? Two-way street. It's like, I love you, woman. I'll tell you what's wrong with you. I'll tell you the truth, okay? How well would you receive that? Not very well, right?
You might receive the right hook.
I might receive the right hook. But it says, the truth, speak it out of love. So it would be, hey, honey, we need to talk. Normally I say that, it means I got to listen for a while, okay? But I got some issues I just want to talk to you about. I'm not sure what's going on, but I love you. I just want to clear this up. Oh, okay. Well, I must be quite concerned if I come to her and say, I need to talk to her, okay? See the difference in the tone of voice? Okay. But it is funny, though. I mean, a lot of times we get in heated arguments. People get in heated arguments. And they tell them the truth, everything, out of anger and hate and stuff. Not out of love. And we don't want to do that. If you find yourself, man, calm down first. Calm down. If you had to wait a day, say, man, I need to talk to you, Bonnie. Then you really hurt me the other day. Can we talk? Okay. One-on-one, I share my heart, you share your heart, we pray over, and it's done. But come to each other out of love. And don't come to each other out of love about Maggie. You hear me, church? Yeah, I only say, God, just keep your mouth shut. And we'll be there next week. Okay? Out of love. But you're going to find out you're complaining, murmuring, gossiping is killing people left and right. Not just physically, but also spiritually it is. You know, like, what we're saying would be, Stanley Mason, he turned it around and said it backwards one time, but They always say, well, like Grandpa always said, you have nothing good to say about somebody, don't say nothing. Of course, Stanley said, Pap always said, you have nothing good to say about somebody, let's hear it. So please, bridle our tongues, amen? Bridle that. Don't say, oh, I'm going to share this, I'm going to talk about this. That's so important not to do that. Now, huh?
Because the next part of that sentence says, we are to grow up in all aspects.
Right, to grow up, yeah. And it comes back to love. I know you might say, I love to talk about people, but that's the wrong type of love, okay? But growing up to be like Christ and say, oh Lord, I blew it again, but I won't be like you. Don't give up, right? But let Him mature you. Let him change you. And again, be honest with ourselves. You know, how do I get this way? I was perfect yesterday in my thinking, but now today it's awe. It might be, somebody said earlier, it might be shutting Facebook off. It might be. I mean, I don't know. You have to check yourself. I had to do that. I had to eliminate a lot of Facebook people. I got tired of the drama. I mean, it'd get me down and, if I want to get down, I turn on the news. You know what I'm saying? So I tell you this. Don't ever put anything on Facebook. No. Don't put anything on Facebook thinking the pastor's going to read it. If you got something for me, call me. Text me, okay? Don't ever say, well, I posted last week. You never called me. Chances are I didn't read it. Chances are I went through all my spells. I went, unfollow. Not eliminate, but just quit following. When you got 1,000 people on Facebook, if ever I wrote one thing a day, yes. So I get the point sometimes I just go down to this with my immediate family. And then personally I start bringing people back again. So please, if you ever want me to know something, please call me. Text me. Do something. But don't think, well, I posted on Facebook. You didn't. You ever have somebody get mad at you because you didn't like something on Facebook? I mean, well, I posted that on Facebook about Christ coming back, and the pastor didn't like it. And if you don't have Facebook, liking is it's a check mark. That means you saw it. People get mad because they didn't like that. Don't keep your life living on Facebook. It's just a tool. This here is no mistake. Hey, Pastor, just calling you today. We got prime rib down here. We thought you would come eat. All right, April. We tried that the other day. They didn't serve it. Only on Fridays, Saturdays. Yes. So next week. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yes. Yep. We tried it on Monday. So. And the last one for the day. This is the good news. Oh, it's good news. But Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So folks, if you're following Jesus and you love God and you keep messing up, you keep getting back up, God will take that thing and work it to your good. Believe me, He will. As you love Him and have faith in Him, okay? He'll take that thing. Now, you might do something today and the world might not forgive you right away. You might make the front page of the paper. I've been there many times. Yes, I couldn't change it. Some of you guys are too young probably, but 1978, you had a guy escape from jail. Yep. Thumped me and thumped two other guys out the door he went. I mean, he was a murderer and everything. Anyway. Have anybody escaped any lately? Seriously. People was coming into the sheriff's office to visit their loved ones in jail laughing at me because one of them got out. Well, anybody escape lately? Not your loved one. Yeah. But again, see how embarrassing that is? Okay. But we use that to correct a couple of things over the sheriff's office to make it more secure. Okay? So we can say it this way. The sheriff took that and turned it around for good. But God does the same thing in our life. We might fall. People might laugh at it, make fun of you. But God will use it to turn around for good. Just trust in Him. Do what? You just laugh too at times? Yeah. Yeah. I figured you've got a lot of stuff to work with. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But just be confident that what he started in your life, he'll finish it. He's not going to give up on you. And when you try to do well and it backfires on you, God will use it somehow. He'll turn things around. But again, it all goes back to loving him, following him, and want to be like Jesus. That covers a multitude of sins. Husband and wives, when you get married, you might mess up quite a lot of times. But each of you know that you love one another, and you know you want to make this thing work, so you have a way of working through it. And God, the same way, he sees our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.